It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what, Limits? I'm calling it audible. We have all year, really, to talk about the future. Let's listen to some of the sound from last night. And can we all agree, by the way, that if the idea here, and I think the idea here, was to win a playoff game this season, they failed spectacularly. I mean, I don't know of a person who thought that that at minimum the Steelers had to win a playoff game. Maybe after the Ravens game. Remember I was teetering, Limits? I was teetering last week and I said if they're even competitive in a playoff game, I might call this season at least a moderate success, but then they go out and get beat by a million points and it should have been worse. So I don't know who could possibly argue that this was a successful season. The high point was the Baltimore home game, I think. The road game was pretty good too. The low point was an absolutely ludicrous loss to Cleveland, an all-time franchise embarrassment. And then what we saw last night, the worst home playoff loss in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers. By any reasonable definition, this was a failure. It was. It was a failure. So why don't we go over some quotes? It was a failure if they had to win a playoff game. And when you haven't done that for 8 years, you better do it in your ninth year, and you've been outscored by an average of 2+ touchdowns every single time. I mean, how much more evidence do we need here before we move on? So let's hear some sound from last night from what had to be just a despondent locker room and podium over in the media room. Limits, I'm going to let you dealer's choice here, and then I'll riff on it.
Well, Joe, I'm going to throw it right back to you. I'm going to give you a choice, A or B. Okay. What do you select, A or B?
B.
B means we will start with the defense, and we start with Cam Hayward. On any talk around Mike Tomlin.
I don't really care about that noise because they don't know what Mike T puts into us. They don't know how he goes out of his way to prepare every man. They don't know about the countless nights that man is in there studying film. You know, coach is going to do so much, players have to play better. And in those critical moments, players have to step up.
I mean, I think I do know how much he puts into it. He puts his heart and soul and his life into it. And so do all the players. I don't think you get to this point in life at that level of your profession if you're not. But what does that have to do with anything? Everybody's doing that. He doesn't win ever in the playoffs anymore. His teams get hammered all the time. And now it's been nearly a decade without coming close to a playoff win. It's almost becoming like a satire here. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous that people keep defending this. What are we talking about?
Like, if you were a fan of another team, I just don't understand how it can be just plausible for them to understand what is going on here. Like, people might see, oh, well, the Steelers, they're always in it. They're always in the conversation. That's great. But unless you're truly in it like we are every single day, I really wonder, like, what do they think in Seattle about Mike Tomlin? What do they think in San Francisco? What do they think in New Orleans? Places like that about the state of the Steelers right now. Because I wonder, would they think, oh, well, maybe Mike Tomlin, that's just from an outside perspective, is somebody who shouldn't go. Maybe he's just doing a really good job with less.
Well, you need to present them with more facts, such right. as they've been outscored. Well, okay, A, he now owns, tied with Marvin Lewis, the longest playoff losing streak that there has ever been, 7 games. He hasn't come close to winning one of those 7. They've been outscored by an average of 2+ touchdowns in those 7 losses. They've been outscored 73-3 in the first quarters of those 7 losses, and it didn't get better in the second half. I just saw the stat from the Pat McAfee show. In those 7 playoff losses, the opponent has led for every single second half snap over those 7 games. That is mind-boggling. Next.
Here is what Cam Hayward had to say about Aaron Rodgers' future.
I don't know what's playing. I think every guy showing you they should be a part of this team in the future. But I'm not going to play GM right now. If 8 wants to come back, he's right to come back. I'd like to see him come back, but I'm not going to make that decision. That's not fair to the Steelers, not fair to 8. I have a lot of respect for the organization and Aaron. That dude's earned my respect for what he's, been through this year. And he's a hell of a teammate. I'm just very thankful I got to play with that quarterback.
Well, I will say this about Cam. Rather than Rodgers, Rodgers is an obvious first ballot Hall of Famer. I think Cam solidified his Hall of Fame case this year. He didn't have much of a game last night. But when you have 4 first-team All-Pros and 2 second-team All-Pros, I mean, that is quite the resume. And if he were ever able to get from 92 to 100 sacks, that would be a nice number to put on the resume. I think he's a Hall of Famer limits, especially based on who's already in. I mean, to have that many first-team All-Pros, that is rare, even in the history of this great franchise. And he just got named second-team All-Pro last week. Let me just check on that while you tell us your feelings about Cam. I'm more interested in Cam from that quote than Aaron. We just talked about Aaron. And it sounds like Cam is just planning to be back again. Is this dude going to go on forever?
Yeah,
it's incredible.
Quickly on that quote, I find it really fascinating how during the summer it was Hayward saying, you either want to be a Steeler or you don't, in response to Rodgers. It seems like he did a complete 180 on his opinion of Aaron, which I think, go through a 17-game season, play an 18th playoff game. It's some interesting perspective of how that relationship developed, but I do agree with you that Hayward is a Hall of Famer. And it's just wild to me how he could be 35 years old when Aaron Donald retired at, 32, playing at defensive tackle, and he's having the best seasons of his career in his 30s. Typically, if you're an interior defensive lineman who gets beat up on every single play, your prime is probably 25 to 30, right in that range. Cam Hayward's prime has been 30 to 35.
It really is remarkable.
Very impressive.
And if you look at the history of this franchise, here's the list of players who have more first-team All-Pro. Not talking about Pro Bowl, because that's been watered down over the years. First-team All-Pro. Cam has been that 4 times. Here's the list of guys who have more than that in Steelers history. Lambert, Ham, Dawson, Faneca, Webster, and Woodson. 6. That's it. Joe Green had 4. Which seems unbelievable. They didn't have more. Polamalu had 4. T.J. Watt has 4. Antonio Brown, 4. And Hayward, 4. That's the whole list of guys, 4 or more. And that's pretty darn amazing, if you ask me. How about Minka clocks in with 3, oh limitless wonder?
Yeah, I mean, up until he couldn't grab an interception and save his life, he had a really good run here in those first 3 years.
Greg Lloyd with 3. Donnie Shell with 3. Jack Butler, the Butler did it. Unbelievable that Mel Blount only had 2 first-team All-Pros. Wow. Le'Veon Bell clocks in with 2. You proud of him, Limits? Marquise Pouncey with 2. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township.
Sorry, I was sitting out of that response like Le'Veon Bell set out for a year.
Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Next.
All right, let's move along from Cam to Alex Highsmith.
Mm.
And Highsmith's response to the game.
We were a really close team, really close unit. And like I said, it did feel different this year. And so we just didn't get it done, and it sucks.
And what I think is interesting about that is Highsmith thought it was different. The team thought it was different. I think a lot of us were sucked into it, thinking that this team was going to be different. The one to break off this streak of years without a playoff victory, partly because of the quarterback, because of some of the guys that they had on defense, because of Gainwell and Warren, and you get Metcalf back. But once again, after 60 full minutes, it's the same result.
What stood out to me was him saying this was different right after he said we had a close team. Were they not close in other years? That makes me wonder about that. I thought he had a pretty darn good year. 9.5 sacks. He looked like, for the first time, he was back in 2022 form when he signed that contract. Listen, it's not like there's still not some good talent around here. There's some young talent around, too. Now, he's getting up there a little at 28, but Herbig is a young player. I loved what I saw of Harmon for the most part. Zach Frazier. I think McCormick is a good player. I think Dylan Cook may have a future. Fotanu took a huge leap forward. Joey Porter. Like, there's some young talent around here. I think that's undeniable. But you have problems at the two most important spots, coach and quarterback. The coach can't win big games anymore, and your quarterback's 42. And then there are other areas where there's gaping holes. Next.
Let's go to the offensive side of the ball, Joe. This is what Calvin Austin had to say about playing with Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, it was a blessing. It was amazing. I mean, I feel like any receiver to play with a Hall of Fame quarterback, one of the greatest of all time, is, you know, is something I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. I learned a lot. So, you know, at this point, it's just in God's hands.
What's in God's hands?
If Aaron Rodgers will be back or not.
Oh, I thought he was talking if he'll be back or not.
Isn't his contract up to?
I believe it is. Now, I think he's restricted, though. Don't quote me on that.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back, too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
I would imagine it was a thrill to play with Rodgers. And you know what? Rodgers had a good year. I just don't know that he's a guy who's good enough to take you where you really want to go anymore. And again, for the 8 trillionth time, I'll say it. Man, it's always better to do this a little too early than a little too late. And there were some signs, Cleveland last night, of when it goes south in a big way. And you don't ever want to see, you know, Johnny Unitas on the Chargers. Is that where he wound up? I think so.
And yes. The Chargers,
or Joe Namath on the Rams. He was good this year, though. Rodgers had a good year. He was better than I thought, and he served the city and the team very well.
The Chargers just fired their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, a couple of days after their playoff loss.
The Roman candle.
Yeah, you know, the Roman Empire comes to an end.
I guess it does.
This is what Aaron Rodgers had to say about if the Steelers have a bright future.
Yeah, I think so. I think you got a lot of the pieces in place. You know, signing DK, obviously, for 5 years. Now there's some moving pieces because there's been some, you know, some mercenaries. But, you know, I think that there's the good combination of young guys who are ascending, and there's some big decisions to be made. I mean, our team MVP was Kenny Gainwell. He's a free agent and severely underpaid for his performance and what he adds to a team. But you got a good core. You got to start with the offensive and defensive lines. And obviously, TJ's under contract for a while, and Herbig came on, and KB had a nice season for us, and YA's got a bright future, I think. And then offensive line, I already talked about it. You know, you got three center, right guard, right tackle. As long as Isaac wants to play, you know, he plays at a high level. And, you know, obviously Bradford got hurt and gave opportunity for Dylan, who obviously showed he can play in the NFL. So I think you got a good pieces in place on the O&D line. And obviously every year is different. You got to figure out who's coming back, who's not. But I think, you know, this team is always going to be competitive, and there's some pieces in place to have a chance to be competitive for a long time.
Sure. I mean, Mason Rudolph could get them to 10-8 in a blowout playoff loss next year, for all I know. But what he did say there was true. There are, and we just talked about it, it's not like they're void of talent. There's some young talent around here. They got to find a quarterback. Aaron Rodgers probably took them as far as they're going to get. And again, he was pretty good this year, I thought. But they still don't have a franchise quarterback. That's even bigger than the coach. You got to have that. Unless you have an all-time defense, and I'm wondering if the Texans might. You got to find a quarterback, and I don't know where that guy is right now. Do you?
He's not in college because Mendoza's going to go one. Dante Moore, if he comes out, is going to go two. And Ty Simpson had a horrendous Rose Bowl game. There's no other option that I feel great about.
I don't even want to make a Drew Aller joke because I don't even want to.
I didn't even
want to
bring up his name because I'm just so sick of the fact that these quarterbacks are supposed to be, you know, breaking down barriers this year to have five or six guys drafted in the first round.
How about the Ole Miss kid? Is he going to be eligible? Chambliss?
Yes, he will be eligible.
Draft him. I don't care. Take him somewhere. You think Will Howard gets a chance?
No.
You don't?
A chance at what? To be the starter?
To compete.
To compete, yeah. But like to actually be the starter in week one, though.
Well, if you get a chance to compete, then you have a chance to be the starter.
Okay, well, maybe I should have clarified and said that the chance is very low.
You should have clarified and said that the chance is very low.
I'm clarifying now.
I think he's going to get a chance if Rodgers doesn't come back. I think it's going to be Rudolph against Will Howard in training camp.
That they wouldn't bring anybody else in.
I mean, they would, yeah.
If they do that, then why not just hire a new coach? Because you're already throwing out there it's a lame duck year because we don't have a quarterback. And you're basically wasting Cam Hayward and TJ Watt's time.
Well, they're wasting yours a little bit, too.
Well, yeah, they are.
Next.
All right, the always quotable Patrick Queen wants to talk about how this compares to last year.
I think last year you could kind of feel the vibe go down and stuff. And not give up, but definitely felt like, the season was going at its end. This year felt different. It felt like, we could have a chance.
He also said it
felt
different.
Wait. Play the beginning of that. Last year, the vibe, I didn't catch what he said after that.
I think last year, you could kind of feel the vibe go down and stuff. And,
he said the vibe go down.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
Not give up, but definitely felt like, the season was going at its end. This year felt different. It felt like, we could have a chance.
Well, except that sounds great, except this year was worse. That was a worse game than last year when he gave up 300 yards rushing to the Ravens. I know everybody wants to sort of live in their delusions here, but it's worse now than it was last year. I mean, I'm glad if the locker room feeling was nicer, that's nice. It's nice to be nice to the nice, as Frank Burns once said on MASH. Limits, who are you talking to?
Pony is claiming that you misquoted him with your Schottenheimer quote.
I didn't quote him. I read a show note off of our website.
Show note that Donnie put on there. It was the notes, yes.
Okay.
It was either Donnie
Dom
or...
I didn't attribute it to any one person. I said the show notes said that.
Yeah. Now poor Donnie's going to get chewed out by Pony.
Maybe. I don't know. But let it be known that there has been a case, whatever the case there, let it be known that there has been a case of a 10-win coach who won a division getting fired. In fact, he was a 14-win coach, and his name was Schottenheimer. And that's the kind of playoff company you're keeping these days. Schottenheimer and Marvin Lewis and Jim Mora. Playoffs.
Remember when we used to laugh at the Bengals and Marvin Lewis and
playoffs?
They just would continually go there and lose in the playoffs. And then when the Steelers beat them.
Can you say playoffs like that?
Playoffs. When they basically beat them on a Joey Porter Sr. walking onto the field and drawing a penalty.
Yes.
Plus the hit to the head by Burfitt on AB.
Yeah.
Playoffs.
That was Jim Mora. That's the company he's keeping.
Here is Patrick Queen on the issues with the defense.
For the most part, I think some parts in the game we allowed them to run the ball a little bit too much. And it cost us. It could have been a closer game. So could have been better in that part. But a lot of guys did a lot of great things, getting the ball, making plays and stuff. So it's definitely still to be proud of.
Let's make no mistake here. They got a couple of turnovers, a couple that were lucky, I would say. A couple were earned. But they were getting moved on really all game.
Yeah, they were.
They should have been down 21-6 at the half or thereabouts. Come on. They were getting beaten. They were getting beaten at the line of scrimmage. And C.J. Stroud was actually beating them. He just lost his mind a couple times and self-destructed. They didn't destruct him. He self-destructed. Anyway, Limits, we'll finish this off next.
All right, Joseph A. Bank.
Let's do social media's biggest loser first, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com, shall we? Who is it?
Social media's biggest loser is City Limits for believing that this Steelers season going into the playoffs was going to be different.
I'll join you there.
That they were going to actually win a playoff game.
I'll join you there. We're both social media's biggest losers.
We're eating crow today.
You and I, we're eating crow.
Can you like?
I don't know what I would. I don't know what I was. What is crow? What? Like, where does it?
Probably like a crow, like you know, like a bird.
That's what eating
what it
crow
means.
Eating
crow.
I don't know.
I feel like that would taste terrible.
Yeah, little barbecued crow. I don't think I'd like to eat that.
Where do you think that saying came from?
I don't know, but you should look it up. You're the beat writer.
No, you're
what
the
were
beat
we just
writer.
Talking? I don't know. I don't know what I was talking about or looking at. Both, really. And thinking that this team, I thought they had a better quarterback. That's what I was. That's what I was looking at. And I'm sorry for that. And I'll be sorry about that till the day I die.
Doesn't this feel like just a collective day of healing and a day of mourning for the city?
Not healing, definitely mourning.
Yeah, the healing will come in the next couple days.
No, it won't.
Probably the next couple weeks.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.